always wanted to sing it, so I'm gonna try it.
Thank you.
us all stand as Brother Elijah takes the offering for us.
whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to help me to step to the side, Lord. Let you just step right in, Lord, and just use me as a yielded vessel this morning, Father. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. Bless me as the speaker. Bless them as the hearer. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. One of the most powerful forces upon this earth is leadership. You say amen? Amen. Many victories have been won, good and bad, but it all started with leadership. It took someone that knew who he was, someone that knew what he wanted to get done, and he focused on that, and because the people saw the leadership, they got behind the leadership, they got victory. Amen. If it's a football team, you got to have a leader, it brings victory. Amen? Amen? If it's an army, you've got a leader, it brings victory. But it all goes back to leadership. And when God leads his church, it isn't led by different spirits, but it's by one Spirit. And that's why tongues, when they're using the correct order, they won't be interrupting the minister while he's speaking. Because God won't interrupt himself.
Right.
Prophecies won't be leading saints to an unsanctified life.
Right.
Because God won't confuse himself.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will not be as confusing, because it's Hebrews 13:8. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one of the greatest things that we can have faith in God, Brother Branham even said it was the keystone to the Bible, is that God don't change. And if you want to see what God's going to do, you can look at what God did, because God don't change his pattern.
Right.
People tend to use the words, I feel led, or I felt led, but the Holy Spirit isn't confused. And the Holy Spirit won't go against his word. So many times people will say, I felt led to do this, and then 2 seconds later, well, the Lord told me to do this, and well, 2 seconds later, the Lord told me to do this, and it's completely contrary one to another. God's not confused. God knows what he's doing. But a lot of times we think it's God, but it's really us.
Right.
But at the same time, when the devil uses the same thing, he'll make you think it's not the Holy Ghost, it's just you. Is that right?
Right.
One day the Lord told the disciples, he said, let's cross over this lake. He said, let's go over here. You believe that the Lord told them to do that? But immediately when the Lord told them to go across this lake, storms arose. And in the midst of all this storm on this lake, the disciples immediately begin to doubt themselves whether God told them to go there or not. Because what are we going to do? Storms are here. Many times it's like us, whenever we know God told me to do this, and we start to go that way, and opposition starts to take place. Anytime you start taking a step towards God, opposition takes place. And a lot of times during the opposition, we begin to doubt ourselves. We begin to doubt our decisions. Maybe I made the wrong decision. Maybe I shouldn't have gone here. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. But you know what they did? They woke up Jesus.
Right.
They called on Jesus. Said, Jesus, wake up. You don't care if we perish. And Jesus woke up and said, peace, be still. By a simple sound of his voice. But see, God told them to do something by leadership. They followed that leadership. But when opposition takes place, it's easy to want to throw in the towel and say, maybe we weren't led in the first place.
Right.
Maybe we made a mistake. Just wake up, Jesus. Amen. Did the Lord tell them to go, or didn't he? God told them to go, and God will provide.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, we've got a lot of storms around us right now. But I'm telling you what, he's going to calm the storm.
Amen.
And I believe he's going to do it. Well, Ben says, Joshua and Caleb said, I see what it looks like. So they come over here and they looked all around. My, they reached up there and they cut off a big cluster of, was there grapes? And come on down and said, boy, she's fine. I said, oh, just fine. Here it is. Just taste some of them. They're really good. Oh, that's good. But look at those big, oh, we couldn't do it. Stand against all them big denominations, all those big things. Oh, it's too bad. We can't do it. No, sir. Don't have any way to do it. No, sir. And they begin to say, oh, let's go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. We might as well stay down there. We can't do it. This road's too straight. We can't do it. We just can't. But Caleb and Joshua said, shut up. Every one of you. Shut up. You say amen? Them lying devils, they start speaking up. They're anointed by a devil. They start speaking that nonsense. They shut up. I don't really tell my kids to tell someone to shut up, but if they're trying to take you away from God, say shut up. Amen. Joshua and Caleb were so busy admiring the grapes, they didn't even notice the giants. These guys were down here in the promised land, and they had grapes. I'm telling you, they were this big walking around. They said, look at this, Caleb. This is a big one. They're walking around, and he's having to pick it up like that. And all these other spies are looking at the giants. They're saying, oh, my goodness, look how big these guys are. Joshua and Caleb said, this is a big one. He's walking around here, and he said, he can't even see the giants. Why? Because he's so busy. He's so wrapped up in his grape.
Right.
He's got his grape walking around. Imagine a man walking around with a grape this big. He's walking around, and then giants are speaking out of him. They're speaking their lies to him. He said, I'm sorry. I can't see your face because of my grape. I can't hear you. He just keeps walking with his grape. I would that we would walk with our grapes a little more better. Amen. Hold our promises of God so high. Devil, I'm sorry, I can't even see your face.
Right.
I know you're saying my children won't be saved. Sorry, I can't see your face.
Yeah.
Because I've got the promise. I'm holding it in my hands. I imagine those spies come back. They begin to start talking to all the people. Joshua and Caleb, they've been carrying the grape so long, you know, it got heavy. They set it down and sat down on top of the grape. They're sitting here watching these people talking to one another. Talk about how big these spies are. Look how big these giants are. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And I imagine they were sitting there. Brother Tim, you sung the right song. I've been thinking on it the last couple of days, especially this morning. I imagine they were sitting on top of them old grapes, sitting on the promises of God. And they were talking about all these giants over there. And all of a sudden, you hear old Joshua tapping on his grape. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, Caleb begins to slap on his grape. He says, you know what? We can do this. They pick their grapes up and says, come on, guys, we can take this thing. I'm telling you what, I'm going to take a body change. We're going to take this thing. You say amen?
Amen.
My children are going with me. My family's going with me. Why? Because I've got my grape. God gave it to me. We need to take our grape everywhere we go. Because that's our promises.
Amen.
They're my inheritance. God said, I'll give it to you. It's yours, but you got to go take it. Amen.
Amen.
If you just compare a small grape to a person, that person will look real big. I tell you what, when your grape's bigger than their head, they don't look too big anymore. Instead of looking at the opposition, they looked at the grapes and the promises. We need to stop looking at the storm. Start looking at our grapes again.
Amen.
The next time you feel like you aren't going to make it, just pull out a grape. You pull out a grape from God's Word. Says, you know what? I've got this. I've got this. God gave me the victory in it. Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. Says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host would encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in the pavilion, in the secrets of his tabernacle shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Amen. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me, and there will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You say amen for yourself? If we ever come to a service and nobody else wants to sing, I'm going to sing. Because one thing I've desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You say amen? On your daily walk in this struggle in this world, what's the one desire of your heart? I truly just want to serve God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Truly, that's what I want to do. Something from the innermost of my loins. One thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. There's something inside me that says, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to be a better believer. God, I want to be a better representation.
Amen.
When you have that, friends, whenever opposition stands, God's going to hide you in the pavilion. And God will put you on that rock.
Amen.
So whenever the devil starts coming, behold the beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
You say amen? When things are falling around, behold the beauty of the Lord. At that time, when you're going through, I tell you what, I have to fight a devil, a spirit of depression that tries to come up on me. You know, anytime that devil tries coming up, you know what I do? I pull out my Bible and I behold the beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
And the next thing you know, that old stinky devil's got to leave again. Tony, what? I know what it is to fight things like that. Sometimes the person will have a smiley face in the front. A lot of times you have battles on the inside that nobody else knows about. Because that's the real innermost you. But I'm telling you what, there are those times, that's how you can get victory, is behold the beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you what, He's so beautiful. This word is so, so awesome. Amen. But Brim says, we've got to be real, genuine Christians. The only way we can do that is confront it with the question here of eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life, and that comes from God. And He foreordained every creature that would ever have it. Just as you were the gene in your father, you was a gene in God. One of His attributes began with, or you'll never be there. You come forth in the bedding ground of your mother. Your father didn't know you. You were in his loins. And when you come forth in the bedding ground of the mother, then you become a human being and are made in the image of your father. Now you can fellowship with him. And the same thing by God if you got eternal life. The life that you come in, the natural life, the physical life, that was by your father. And the only way you can come born again is the only way is it has to be from your heavenly Father, His attributes. All the Father has given me will come to me. You are here because your name was placed on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's exactly right. You're a gene, a spiritual gene out of your heavenly Father, a part of God's Word, that be so. And I've said then to you, Jesus, when He was here, because He was the Word, you suffered with Him, you died with Him, buried with Him, you rose with Him, and now you're sitting in heavenly places with Him. There's no other place that God will meet you than under the shed blood. You say amen?
Amen.
That's what the world is, and the denomination systems have really missed it, because even the very first sacrifice, they were both religious. They both sacrificed. They both had all these great things. And if you allow yourself to fall into carnal reasoning with your people you go to work with, people you meet with, they go to church.
Right.
If you allow yourself to reason with them, you'll begin to say, you know what? We're just the same. There's no difference.
Right.
They go to worship God. These are genuinely good people. God never said they weren't good people.
Right.
They rejected the blood. Because when you reject the blood, you reject the Holy Ghost. Because when you reject the Holy Ghost will lead you into the current word for your day.
Amen.
Is that the truth?
Right.
That's the difference. So don't ever allow yourself to fall into that carnal reasoning. Because if you fall into that carnal reasoning with the people around you, tell you what, they're good folks. Some of them have more dedication than we ever thought about having. Their sacrifices that they do, look at the Jehovah's Witness, we ain't got nothing to compare to it. Door to door, 100 degrees, it don't matter. But we can't look at those things. It's got to be the blood. Because that's where God's going to meet us at. Amen.
Amen.
Now Israel, when they come into fellowship with God, there was only one place of fellowship with God. And that was in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle is where the bleeding sacrifice was going all the time. The people, God never promised to meet the people anywhere else but under the shed blood. Think of it. I'm going to let that soak a minute now. We're getting ready to close. Look, God has never promised to meet any man upon his merits, upon how good he is, or how good she is. He's never promised to meet them there. There's no fellowship with God upon your own merit. The only place there is fellowship is under the shed blood. From Genesis to Revelation, it's only through the blood. Innocent substitute to cover the guilty, penitent sinner, only the blood. Now notice quickly, Israel went to the building, they shed the blood, and in the building was the only place that God would meet the fellowship with the believer. In the building, that's where the shed blood was. The lamb died at the altar daily. The blood went on, the black smoke hung over the tabernacle, and God could not see the sin. So the people went beneath the blood and had fellowship. True fellowship is under the blood.
Amen.
But it's never how good we are. Because I tell you what, if we try to go by how good we are, we'll never be in fellowship with God.
Right.
Because we all fail every day.
Right.
The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. He had to daily go into the presence of God and say, God, forgive me. Because you know what I've done. But see, the devil will get on your shoulder and beat you down and look at the little things that you've done. You can't go in the presence of God now. You ain't got the Holy Ghost, because if you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't have done that. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't have thought that thought. No, Brother Branham was asked the question one time, a question and answer. She was asked the question, Brother Branham, I have problems understanding whether it's my thought or the devil's thoughts or God's thoughts. How do I know whose thoughts it is? You know what Brother Branham said? He said, if it's according to the word, it's God's thoughts. If it's not, it's the devil's thoughts. There's somebody missing that equation. We ask, how can I know, God, if it's my thoughts, the devil's thoughts, or the Lord's thoughts? How can I know? He said, if it's with the word, it's God. If it's not, it's the devil. Where does that leave us? You say amen?
Amen.
He goes, there is no my thoughts. It's going to come from God, it's going to come from the devil. Amen. We can know where our thoughts are coming from. We can know, because the devil will put thoughts in your mind all day long. There's nothing you can do about that, but you can shun it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You don't think on those things. It's a shame to even speak of those things that are done in secret. He says, and when God was born you anew, when God has born you anew by the Holy Spirit, he can only look upon you as a perfect work, because he did it himself. Glory. Amen. He can't condemn you. You are his workmanship. Amen. Oh my, I feel like shouting like the Methodists. Think of it. You are God's workmanship. He did it. He did it by how? Sovereign grace. Not because you jumped. Not because you went to church. Not because you turned a new page. It's because God, by his mercy, brought you into Christ, into fellowship. Looks upon as a perfect work of his own. Why? This is what he says. I bought him. I presented him to the blood, and there's nothing wrong with my work. He said it's God's workmanship. It's never our merits. It's never what we've done. God called us by his grace. We say amen.
Amen.
How many of you was looking for God when God got a hold of you? Nobody. But I'm telling you what, I tell you what I was at a rock and roll party thinking I was having a good time, and God would allow me to go as far as I wanted to, as far as I thought I wanted to, until finally God looked at his watch and said, stop. And no matter how hard I could have been a full run dead sprint, when he said stop, I couldn't take another step. Why? Because it's God's time.
Right.
When God's time said stop, you ain't going no further. Because in God's time, God knows how. There wasn't no preacher there. There wasn't no musicians there. There were musicians, the wrong kind of musicians. There wasn't none of those things, but God had a plan. He knew that I had an elect seed of God on the inside of me, and he says, I know how to get a hold of him, and he says, I know exactly where he needs to be. If we had our mentality of it, we would have said, Brother Daniel, we'll just call him Daniel for now because he's so backslid. We'll look at him. There's the only way there's hope for him to come back to God. He's got to be in a church service. He's got to have this Brother Min Norod come. He's got to preach this message. This song's got to be played, because when they do that, it'll break that old shell off of him, and then Daniel will finally listen to the word of God, and he'll finally repent. If that was our thinking of it, that's about the way we would have planned it.
Right.
That's the way we would look at that, because that's man's reasoning. We would think, he's got to come to the house of God for it to happen. But I'm telling you what, I was at a rock and roll party, thinking I was doing my own thing, but in God's own time, I went as far as God would let me go, and God said, stop. And right then, God got a hold of me in such a way that I knew I couldn't take another step, because it was a living fire on the inside of me. And I knew God was real. Ain't nobody could take that away from me, because it was a revelation to me. Tell you what, and I went to that bedroom, did not even know how to pray. I didn't know what to do, but I knew this was real. And right there at a rock and roll party, on my knees, I said, God, I don't know what to do, but I know you're real. Right then, I committed my heart to God. I'll tell you what, we raise our hands and I said, I've got loved ones out there.
Don't you fret about that, because I'm telling you what, there's a time they're going to take that final step and God's going to say, stop.
Right.
And when God says that, then you ain't got no choice.
I could have had a team of horses trying to pull me forward, and God has still brought me back. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Man. If God, I want you to examine this about yourself. You put yourself back when God first got a hold of you. If God can get a hold of you then, and God stopped you in your tracks then, and God started this walk with you then, He's going to see you through. You see, man? If God started this work in you, He's going to continue it. Sometimes you may feel like you don't feel the presence of God. Sometimes you may feel like you can't pray through. Sometimes you feel like when you try to read, you just kind of stumble. I'm telling you what, God's still in control. That's right. Blind people go by feelings. Blind people always go by feelings. When they're going through, this feels like a desk. Blind people, Christians got to walk by faith. Say, you know what, I may not feel it, I may not see it, I may not know it, but one thing I know, my God is real. And you start walking. Leadership by the Holy Ghost always leads us to the blood. Now remember, what is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is a carnal Esau to reject that birthright. Didn't Esau weep bitterly trying to restore that birthright again? But there was no place of repentance. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you seal yourself outside of God's mercy. Amen? Now you say, now Brother Branham, you tell us our disease and so forth, you'd be a prophet. And this is what they're saying to Brother Branham. He's saying you're telling me. He says, if you'd say, now Brother Branham, if you tell us our diseases and so forth, you'd be a prophet. But now you're, well, and this is what Brother Branham says. He says, it's the same person. That's right. That's right. I still got what the scripture said. It's exactly right. Amen. It's still the truth. And it's heading up to the mark of the beast. And the people say, oh, there'll be a mark. And it's already marked. Just reject the Holy Ghost. And you're marked. Receive the Holy Ghost. And you're marked. Amen. That's right. Receive it once and see what takes place. Receive it once. That's the mark of God. And you're sealed to your eternal destination like a car on the road. The inspector comes by. Now, some of you didn't get the Holy Ghost last night that we went through here tonight. He said, but the inspector, the Holy Ghost, is here and he's inspecting us. And Brother Brent's talking about that. He's saying that we need to have the seal of God. We need to have the seal of the Holy Ghost because the mark of the beast is coming and our mark of the beast is already here. And people are telling the Brother Brent, they're saying, now, wait a minute. You give us the healings, you give us those things, that's going to make you a prophet. But don't you start none of that. We need the Holy Ghost stuff. Brother Branham said it's the self-same spirit. The same spirit that discerned your hearts. Think of this. The people that would come up to the platform he had never seen in his entire life. People he could look up and by the Holy Ghost would come down. He would see who their grandmother was. He could see where they were all the way in St. Illinois. They'd see the doctor wearing a certain suit. He'd see a purse over in a certain floor. And he'd say the vision exactly the way it's supposed to be right in front of the person. He's sitting here talking to a person. He'd see that vision just as clear as can be. He'd say, you were at this certain place at the hospital. This doctor was wearing this. There was a purse sitting right here. There was this. This happened exactly like that. All these things happened in detail. He was sitting there looking, standing in front of the person and seeing this vision just as clear as I'm seeing you right now. And he would tell them exactly what happened. And those people would see that and their faith would rise up. Why? Because it was deserting their hearts. Their hearts were discerned and it brought a faith inside them. And then when that, and Brother Branham said in demonology, he said that a demon isn't what people think. He said a demon is, it's something, it's a tormentor. He said a demon will be upon you, afflicting you, causing you to disbelieve the word. And he says, and it's the most peculiar things. What he says, read in demonology. He says one of the most peculiar things. He said, when that devil is exposed, he said, I've seen it many times in the prayer lines. He said, they'll have a peculiar look upon their face. Why? That devil has been exposed. And when that devil has been exposed, that devil has to let go. He can't hold on to them no longer. And they can freely claim that promise of God and walk away with their healing. Is that the truth? That was a prophet being able to do it. But he said, but that self-same spirit that was there
doing that discernment, that same self, same spirit is here while I'm preaching to you and telling you, you need the mark of the Holy Ghost. Because there's a mark of the beast. And there's many people already taking it. He said, because you knew when you reject the Holy Ghost, he said, you're taking the mark of the beast. What is that? Is that the truth? They talk about during the time of the Jubilee, listen to this now, during the time of the Jubilee, they were slaves, they were bound, they had shackles, they had all these, they couldn't go free. They were slaves. But there come a time of Jubilee when he could sound that trumpet, and when he sounded that trumpet, somebody else would hear it on the next hill, and he'd sound the same exact trumpet. And when they sounded that trumpet, those slaves that were bound by sin, bound by the shackles, they could hear that, and when they heard that Jubilee trumpet, they could throw that hoe down and walk away. Because they were free.
Amen.
They could go free because they heard the sound of the trumpet. I wasn't the first one sounding the trumpet. I just heard it and I just got on the hill. God put me on and I'm hearing the same thing and I'm sounding the same trumpet.
Amen.
That we're free. But if you look at the scriptures, it says if they turned down that, if they said, you know what, I'm not going free, I'm staying right here where I'm at, then he said they'd take them to an altar. He said, put a boar in their ear. They could never go free ever again. No matter how many times they heard that. Friends, I tell you what, the devil works really hard today, really hard. He tries to take away the fear of God out of people.
Right.
He takes the fear of hell out of the people. Takes the fear that there's no reality of a hell. I'm telling you what, just as sure as there is a heaven, there is a hell.
Amen.
Amen. Just as sure as there is, I'm telling you what, the devil will try so hard. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you what, that's what the devil's trying so hard, is take the fear. We do live in a day where we can know who we are, and we do live in a day where we know we can be sealed with the Holy Ghost, but you've got to get the seal. I can say I've got to go to Fort Smith. I used to load trucks and put seals on a truck, and once you filled the truck up, I'll explain that a little bit. Whenever we had these semi trucks, we'd have to fill them up with product, and there was an inspector that would actually come in and look at those trucks. They would actually go through and examine how everything was packed, because that truck, that trailer you see on the back of the semi, they're going to take that up to a train. They're going to pick that off of that, and they're actually going to set that truck right on top of a train, and then that thing will go right on down the road. They're metal trailers, and we'd have to stack and organize that trailer exactly right, because that inspector would come inside there and they would inspect that trailer. And if anything was loose, anything was flapping around, anything that could break, I would have to unload that entire trailer and redo it. And I'd restack everything, get everything exactly right. And that inspector would come through and inspect everything. And once everything was right in its place, he had a golden seal that he would do. He'd close those doors, he'd put that seal, and he'd put that on the back of that trailer and seal that. Now, you could take that seal with a pair of cutters, a pocket knife, anything, you can cut that seal off easily. But it's the penalties that you would face for cutting that seal. The only person that could open that seal is whenever it gets to its final destination. When it gets to its final destination, only one person can pull that seal off. Once it gets to its final destination. Brother Brenham taught that, and what is the Holy Ghost, and what's the Holy Ghost for? Brother Brenham explained to us that that's the way the inspector does us with the Holy Ghost. He will inspect our lives for loose things. He'll look for a loose attitude, a loose temper. He'll look for a lustful spirit. He'll look for all those things in our life. He says, because you've got those things in your life, God can't seal that cart. He said, you've got to be able to get those things under control where you begin to apply the word to your life. Apply the word and let the Holy Ghost come down and search your life. And see if there's that loose temper anymore. Because the temper can't be there. God's got to be able to let the inspector come and inspect our cart. Inspect our life. God, if there's anything loose in my life, get it out of me. You say amen?
Amen.
That's why chickens can't fly that high. You know what? A chicken, the reason he can't fly very high, his feathers are too loose. He can barely pull on a feather on a chicken, and he'll pull that just real easy. He tries to fly, and what we would do a lot of times with chickens, to keep them from flying out of the coop, we'd cut their wings. Sounds evil, don't it? We actually cut their wings, because even though they couldn't fly but that high, now they can really fly about that high. We'd cut their wings off, or they couldn't fly. That's what the devil works hard, real hard today, is cutting wings.
Yeah.
He's cutting wings where we can't fly very high because we've got so much world in us. We've got so much baggage, so much extra stuff. We can't do it.
Right.
That chicken can't fly very high. His feathers are too loose. But you take an eagle's got his feathers on his wings. Now, I have never tried this, but I've been told, I've read what Brother Brenham said about it. He said, you can take a pair of pliers and try to pull that thing out. He said, you'll barely pull a feather out because they're so lodged up inside there. That's how strong those feathers are inside that eagle. He says, them wings of that eagle, they're so strong. And what that little eagle will do, now think about this. That eagle, he won't put his nest on the bottom like a chicken. We got chickens, we had chickens, and I'd sure like to have some more. I like chickens. I'm not a chicken, but I like chicken. Does that make sense? I love to watch them. They're a lot of fun sometimes. But you know what? Them chickens, what they'll do, they'll build their nest anywhere they want to. They'll lay eggs everywhere. You'll be walking through the yard and you'll find an egg out there. Craziest thing you ever seen. But that eagle will not do that. That eagle will take that thing way up on top, way up high, where the snakes and everything can't get to it, and he'll build that nest right up there. He'll put this big old deal of thorns on the very bottom of that. Big old thorns. And them eagle nests get huge. I mean, just a huge, how many seen an eagle nest? Huge eagle nest. They'll put them thorns on that thing, and then they'll put rabbit fur all inside that little nest. And them little eaglets will get inside that, and they have got it made. Man, it's just they just sit there and flap their wings, hallelujah a few times, open their mouth up, and the preacher will come right up to them and just feed him. He's like, I got it going on. He's just big old fat belly popping out, and he just sit there. And all he's got to do every once in a while is flop his wings and says, praise God, I'm an eagle. Praise God, I'm an eagle. And he gets by with that for a little while. It's so comfy. It's so comfortable. I'm telling you what, there's no better place in earth. Thank God for making me an eagle. I ain't got to work. I ain't got to do nothing. I just sit here in this old nest. It's comfy. Mama, bring me another bird. You know, whatever, chicken. That's why the chickens don't like the eagles, because the eagles eat the chickens. Well, he'd sit there in that nest, and he'd get by for a long time eating like that. And all of a sudden, one day, come a time, when Mama Eagle was looking at her watch and said, stop. You've been comfortable too long. That Mama Eagle will get there and she'll start flapping them wings really strong. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, that rabbit fur starts falling out of that nest. And remember, what was underneath the rabbit fur? Thorns. And all of a sudden, it wasn't comfortable anymore. That little eagle would start hitting thorns and he was so uncomfortable. Now, you can look at that from our doctor's point of view and say, that is an evil mother. Spank her child. I'm telling you what. What an evil mother. You should stick him in a corner. You know, we should, because see, she has a plan. There's something inside that eagle that knows God has a provided way to bring this little eaglet to maturity. Because that eaglet can't just be an eaglet its whole life. There comes a time when that eaglet needs to raise up and become an eagle and be a mature eagle. Because if he don't, they're going to go extinct. They need someone to rise up to fill the shoes of Elijah. You say amen? Elijah did his part, but there's a time when Elisha's got to come right by him and start doing the same work. Where is the God of Elijah? We need to be able to start doing the same work because it's the same spirit. That little eaglet can sit in there, all of a sudden they're getting more uncomfortable, and every time they expect Mama to make it easier for them. We ain't worshiped all service, we ain't prayed all week, we ain't done all those things, and now we're coming here and you're telling me, why am I struggling so much? I'm so uncomfortable. You know why? God is bringing them to maturity. Because if he don't make them uncomfortable, they will sit in that nest and will just get fat, just like a chicken. And they won't go do nothing. God ain't called them to that. God is positioning them for victory. God is positioning those eaglets in a way to where they will be ready to fly. Because if they're always so comfortable, and then God takes them out on flight, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, forget this, I'm going back to the nest. It's comfortable back there. But what they would do, they'd make it so uncomfortable with those thorns, they can't stand another second of that thing. They're so uncomfortable in that nest, they said, I've got to get out of this thing. And finally, Mama says, stop. It's time for your next school lesson. And what them little eaglets would do is they'd bite onto the side of those feathers on that mother. They'd hold right onto its wings. And that Mama would take them eaglets, the big strong wings way up in the sky, and he'd let them go. And then things would start feeling like they're falling, feel like they're flapping their wings, feel like they can't fly nowhere. They're tossing, they're turning, and maybe they feel like they're completely out of control. You ever feel that way sometimes? You feel like you're trying to flap. You're trying to use the word of God. You're trying to swing. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to hit the ground. But before you even hit the ground, that big eagle picks you right back up. And then you'll have another good service. You know the revival at home in your prayer meeting? That Holy Spirit will pick you right back up, take you right up in the skies. And you're like, oh, here it is. I remember now. And the higher you go, you start to forget about all those cares down there. You're so caught up in the presence of God. You're so caught up. And all of a sudden, you know what he'll do? He'll let you go again. He'll let you start, and you start feeling like you're flapping. But next thing you know, you're like, wait. I'm getting it. Hey, I'm starting to get the hang of this thing. If you flap your wings this way, you go that way. You flap it this way, you go this way. It's a training. I'm telling you what, that's the same way it is with us and God. God is training us, friends. God is taking us up. He'll take us up on a mountaintop. We're so high in the heavens. We're so filled with the presence of God. We're so anointed with God. We'll leave those doors. We'll go out into the world. Sometimes we'll feel like we're flapping. And all of a sudden, God, wait a minute. Hey, I can do this. I know how to use this. God gave an eagle his provided protection is his wings. Brother Brown was talking one time where he was out in the woods and he was praising God. He said he was dancing around, praising the Lord. Could you imagine walking through the woods and seeing a man running around screaming at the top of his lungs going around a tree? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise. I've never done that yet, but I hope I will. I hope I get so filled I can do that sometime. Brother Brown was out there praising the Lord, running around these trees over and over, praising God, praising God, praising God. And all of a sudden, God got his attention to look at a squirrel. And he looked over and he said, now, God, why wouldn't you stop my attention from praising you to look at a squirrel? Why wouldn't you do that, God? And he looked at this little squirrel and he was just a barking. He was just a chittering and a chattering and a chittering and a chattering. And he was looking at that and he said, God, why are you doing that? He says, what's that thing chattering at for anyway? Any hunters in here that knows, anytime you go deer hunting, them things, the noises, I'll have to confess to you, I've shot at a few of them. I sit there waiting for a squirrel to come, or a deer to come up, see him coming, that thing will chatter, and you see that thing just take off. I didn't hit him, but I shot the limb underneath him, and he probably felt like I shot him. Them squirrels are the noisiest thing in the world when you're in the woods. And Brother Brown said, I was sitting there watching this thing chatter and chatter and chatter and chatter, and he's looking at it, and he says, what in the world are you chattering at? And he looked on over, and there was a little eagle, a big eagle. And this eagle was sitting there. Just the most beautiful thing in the world when you see one in the nature. He was sitting there, and Brother Branham said, I thought to himself, I said, you know what? I could shoot you. He said that eagle looked at him, kind of batted his eye. He's got super vision. You know, we've been called to a day where God gave us vision where we can see things where other people can't see it. They're not built for it. That's why we can hear the same word, and we can say, praise God. Somebody else can hear the same words. I didn't get a thing.
Right.
Amen. I heard a story about a man, a farmer, had read this book about the eagle, and he read it and said, praise God, Dad, you've got to read this thing. Dad read that book and he said, well, what's the thing about it? I hate it. They called me a buzzard. I read the same story. It called me an eagle. That thing was chattering at that eagle, and that eagle was looking at him. He said, it's better. And he said, finally, I realized something. That eagle knew where his confidence needed to be. His confidence were in those wings that God gave him. And every once in a while, he'd flap those wings, every once in a while, just making sure they're in check. Testing, 1, 2. Testing. Testing. Ready for takeoff. He didn't try some worldly new, get some new book from the schools or all these things. He didn't go to the new doctor. This is the new age. Times change. You know, there's different ways of doing things now. We're mature now. We can think these things out. No. He just flapped those wings. Maybe he gets sloppy sometime. Maybe he was eating an eagle or eating another chicken or something. And next thing he sees that thing, he starts to take flight. About 2 flaps, boom, boom, and that thing is in the sky. Before he could even bring that gun up, that eagle was gone that fast. And that's the same way we got to be friends. God gave that eagle a provided way to get away from his enemy. He gave him a provided way to get his meat to feed his young. Gave him a provided way to live. It's God's provided way. It's the self-same spirit. The same spirit that will operate tongues, the same spirit that will operate a minister, the same spirit that will deal with your heart when you're at home, the self-same spirit is going to be the same spirit that's going to lead you in a rapture. I believe that with all my heart. And the rapture comes, I believe that. How many of you, I'm going to make you testify this morning. How many of you have noticed the times you'll be going through life and all of a sudden something will burn on the inside, it'll spark. Like, wow, I love that. That was God. Let me say amen.
Amen.
I believe the rapture will be the same way. There's been times I've been in a sound sleep and all of a sudden that thing will come and it'll wake you up. You wake up and say, oh my goodness, that's good. I gotta pray. I believe the rapture will be the same way. It's the self same spirit. That eagle used God's provided way to get victory. That eagle used the same, when he calmed God's provided way, he's got victory. And I'm telling you what, with us, we want victory, we got to come God's provided way. God gave that eagle the wings. God gave us his word. And that's why people that were from the denominational system, they'll try to criticize what we believe in of being a message of the hour. Brother Brenham always took us back to the word every time. Took us right back to the word, back to the word. Show me one time we ever took us away from the word of God. They won't find it. Why? It's the self-same spirit. That makes me feel good.
Amen.
Makes me feel at peace. That's why whenever you can go and it's a spirit-filled evangelist that you've never talked to before, the pastor talked to him, he can come, you ain't talked to that man, he don't know no more about you than a hill of beans. He can come up here and he'll preach stuff and he'll go right down the same line of what you've been going through. And denominations, they've got a headquarters and they'll actually send out their little deals for sermonettes, the sermons that you can read. And I don't understand that. How could a man do that? How could a man have something inside here burning on the inside to preach this gospel? It's a fire in your bones. And then he's got that. But he's got this because if I don't preach this, they're going to kick me out and I won't have my card. Who cares? Kick me out. You see, man? I've got an evangelist in Fort Smith, or actually Greenwood. Pastor's been, he tries to get me to come because he loves the zeal that I have, seeing the Lord. He said, but you'll have to quit all that stuff. He said, you come. He said, we'll get you, we'll train you up, we'll mold you up. He said, and you will never have to worry about a door open to preach. You will preach, you'll have a cell. I was like, brother, we're sitting at a pizza place talking to him. I said, brother, I couldn't do that. I said, I got something inside here. I said, can you tell a dog to quit barking? I said, that's like trying to tell me to quit preaching the message. Because I'm telling you what, I may only have one church to preach to. But I'm telling you what, I'll stand before God one day, and I'll say I said exactly what he told me to say. Exactly, because I tell you what, every preacher is going to be judged by what he preached. You believe that to be the truth?
Amen.
Leadership will be judged. I'm telling you what, and leadership's in the homes. We're going to be judged. Let's be faithful leaders. Let's be good leaders, good mama eagles, to where we will take the comfort out if we need to. We're willing to bear the thorns. Because I'm telling you what, if you stay comfortable, that's why we got this generations of kids that feel like something is owed to them, all this nonsense. Everyone gets a trophy if they play football. No. My kid ever comes home with a trophy and he ain't won, it's going in the burn pile. You say amen?
Amen.
Because you know what? Paul said, all run, but one's going to get the prize. Only one of you. Now I'll pat you on the back and say, better luck next year, but you're not going to know. We're not doing that. I'm telling you what, God ain't going to do this. He's going to do the same thing. There's no just a participation party. We're going to run this race. And because I'm telling you, if God don't call the equipped, he equips the called. You say amen? God don't say, you know what? The days of Samson, look across the land, say, you know, I need someone that's head and shoulders taller, good looking, broad shoulders, sound like anybody? Saul. I'm going to find somebody out there that can win this victory. I'm going to find someone out there that can win the battle. Who am I going to pick? No, he looked across there, and Brother Brown called him a little sissy. I often wonder what he's going to think about that one time they talk in glory. He says, so, Brother Brown, I love you. He said, but you know what? You got kind of rough on me. You know? You call me a sissy. Brother Brown looked out there and found a little bitty sissy boy. Found somebody out there that wasn't much to him at all. And God says, that's the one. That's the one I'll pick. That'll be the one that will give me the victory. Looking at him, you'd say, there ain't no way that man's going to get the victory. There ain't no way that guy's going to bring victory. There's no way he's going to do that because it wasn't him. It was when that self-same spirit come upon him. He was anointed, and all of a sudden, he was stronger than a lion, literally. He could take a lion and rip that thing apart, bare hands. Little ruddy fella. Why? Because it wasn't him. It was the self same spirit. If this same spirit dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. This same spirit. It doesn't say a different spirit. It doesn't say that spirit. It doesn't say the end time spirit. It says this same spirit. Same spirit was in the first age is in us. You see it, man?
Amen.
That's why we can have faith. God don't change his program. Whenever they're going to choose the king for the children of Israel, they looked over and again they did use the head man head over shoulder, the tall man, the man that looks most fit for the job. He was elegant. He was a man of battle, a man of eloquence, a man of all these great things that a king is supposed to be. Looking at their carnal looks, they said that should be the victory. But God's choosing was a little ruddy fellow with freckles all over his face. Little bitty guy, nothing wrong with freckles, but this guy was just little, nothing to him. You would think in the midst of the heat of the battle, God will call Saul. He's the tall guy. He's the big guy. He's the strong guy everyone's been talking about. You think he'd be the one out fighting the battle, but no. That he'd have never won the battle. It took David. And David, when David came and fought him, he fought them with the self same spirit. He didn't try to come a different way. He didn't try to come this way. Saul tried to persuade him. Remember, Saul said, "What, David, this man's a man of battle. This guy's a man of war, David. This guy's been fighting his whole life, David. You don't want to do this." He said, "No, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. One day I was out watching my father's sheep." He said, "I was out there in the back of the prairie, and here come a bear that come up. And he was sneaking up on one of God's sheep. And David spent so much time with his sheep, he smelled like them. He spent so much time with them, he stunk. I don't know if you've ever been around a sheep, especially when they're shearing, they stink. We stink a lot of times. We got a lot of problems. Can you say amen? You want to talk about people with the most problems? Show me a Christian. Because they're the ones that got the battles. David was with that sheep. He was so with them. He was watching over his sheep. And here come a bear sneaking up one day. And David slew that bear with a sling and a stone. He said later on, one time, there come a lion the same way. He said, the same God that will put them in my hand will be the same God that puts this uncircumcised Philistine in my hand. We need some Davids. Troy, we can look back and say, you know what? The same God that gave me the victories in my life. Look back at your life and say, this victory, this was God. This victory, this was God. This victory, this was God. I remember one time we had a testimony service after the Louisiana camp. And everyone was kind of giving their little testimonies after the victory. And my sister, she knows what I'm going to. At that testimony, everyone kind of said, basically said the same thing. I said, well, nothing criticizing them at all. Not about that at all. But I said, well, basically like what he said, it was good. It was a good service. And I thought they were good. Praise God. And all of a sudden, you seen this little bitty thing walk up to the front. Little, and she didn't slump back. I was just trying to make her high. She came up there and barely even see over the pulpit or anything. And she looked over and this real small voice. She said, I was watching service. I seen what that devil, he just kept being. And I said, devil, I'm putting my foot down. And you're not going to do this no more. And that sister claimed victory right there. Could have took the tallest one of the whole deal, but it took the smallest one in the whole congregation. She said, I ain't putting up with it no more. I'm putting my foot down. You know why? Because it's not her physical stature. It's this same spirit. The same spirit that will give her victory over all the others is the same spirit that's going to give her victory in all the future. You say, amen. You look at yourself and you say, you know what? I've been through some battles. We sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It says, all of these troubles and shares we've gone through in Amazing Grace, talking about all this, the toils and struggles that we've gone through. It's been a battle. You know, let's say, I read in the Civil War, especially during their times, whenever they'd be sitting around the campfire at night, all their bullet wounds and all the different things they've done, they've seen their loved ones that died, brothers literally dying, and some of them having to fight against one another, just a terrible thing. They said during those times, they'd sit around the campfire and they'd just sing. Said they would sing one another. They'd think about home. They'd think about all the good times. Think about all the wonderful things. I'm telling you what, praise is wonderful. Whenever you can praise the Lord, you can just say, God, thank you. Thank you for the victories. You know, we've been through a lot of struggles. You see, man? Been through a lot of battles. But this same Spirit is with us today. This same Spirit is going to lead us to the victory. Amen. Just a few more minutes here. Satan works hard to make us lose respect for the things of true value. And man can become drunken until he doesn't realize what he had until it's gone. The definition of drunk is being in a temporary state in which one's physical and mental faculties are impaired by an excess of alcoholic drink, intoxicated. Number two, listen to this. It says overcome or dominated by a strong feeling or emotion. Number three, it says pertaining to or caused by intoxication or intoxicated persons. You can hang around other people that are intoxicated and become intoxicated.
Right.
Hang around someone that's always negative all the time and you will become intoxicated with negativity. Hang around someone who has a lustful spirit and you will become intoxicated with a lustful spirit. Hang around skeptics of the message, and you will become intoxicated with skepticism. Hang around kids that don't respect their parents or appreciate the things their parents do. You will become intoxicated. And once a person that's intoxicated, once that person becomes sober, they begin to remember and realize the damage that they've done and are filled with regrets. You see, amen? A man that drunk too much and he maybe actually hit his wife or whatever it may be, and he'll wake up that next morning, he'll remember and look at all the regrets he'd done and feel so sorry and apologize. But you know what? That same intoxication happens with tempers. Listen to this, what Brother Brim says. He says, we're living in a neurotic age, nervous tension. Everybody is racing here, going there, going nowhere. It's just to that kind of an age. And I know this church would be plagued with it, as everywhere is plagued with it. Tabernacle is plagued with it. Everywhere, the whole world, it's a day of pressure. Hurry, 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 hurry up and wait. Drive 90 miles an hour and then get home for supper and wait 2 hours till it's ready. That's right, it's the time. And in that rushing and speeding, it gets you into a nervous tension. The wife says something a little contrary to you and you want to fly off, temper. Husband say something, you'll pat your foot and tell him, get in the room, see? Well, now, husband, I don't want no words with you. Go get out of here. Why? Oh, I'm so nervous, see? Why? What's the matter? See, all this together, the tension building up. And then the result of it is doing something wrong, acting out of place. That's right. Now, it'll make a poor act that way. It'll make the middle, listen to this, it'll make the middle class act that way. It'll make the rich act that way. It'll make the wrong act that way. It'll make the pretty good act that way. It'll make the good act that way. Because it's tension, steam built up. Gotta blow it out somewhere, see? You don't blow up the boiler. If you don't, the boiler will blow up. He says, it's not just this person, it's not just this group of people going through that. It's not just the rich, it's not just the poor, it's not just the middle, it's not just the good, it's not just the bad, it's everybody. There's such a tension, there's such a pressure to hurry up, you've got to get here, you've got to get that, you've got to do this. And you're racing so much, you become so tensed up, you're intoxicated with being pressured. And people become drunken with rushing, rushing, rushing. And many times a person can say or do something under the intoxication of pressure from rushing. And when they come off the intoxication, they begin to realize what they've said and done and filled with regrets. Say amen.
Amen.
Abraham did the same thing with Sarah, his wife, but it was to a lot worse degree. You know, many times husbands and wives, you know, have your little lovey-dovey in front of everybody, and then when the doors are shut, that's when the real us is there. You say amen? Let's put our halos off them. Put them in our pocket. We can pick them up. We can pick them up after service. Or maybe I'm the only one. But you're flesh, and you live with one another, and we're under pressure. We've got a devil pressuring all the time, all the time, all the time, fighting your mind. You got to get this done. You got to get that. You've got to have the 401k built up. You got to have this. You got Hillary Clinton coming to the office. You've got this guy coming to the office. You've got this. Pressure. Pressure. And that devil was fighting so hard to get your us so pressured up that we don't act the way we normally would act. You say amen. That's why on vacation, if you don't have kids, you can really have a good time. You can really relax. No strings attached. I love my kids. I don't regret them at all. But whenever you have got everything, it's pressure. You can have pressure, and maybe you don't make the decisions you would normally make because you're under pressure. We have to depressurize. You say amen?
Yeah.
We need to be able to depressurize. And the world has got that. Brother Dinar tapped on it just the other day about music, listening to music. You can listen to music, but it's got to be the right kind of music. Because you can listen to music and really vent that out, but if you're listening to the wrong music, you're going to vent in the wrong direction. Because that spirit will get on you. And once it starts, you'll want more and more and more. Make sure it's the right kind of music you're listening to. Brother Jim said it, I've never said it, heard it any better. He said if you have to listen to it more than 3 seconds to figure out if it's a Christian song, it's the wrong one. That's the truth. But you know, we got all this pressure, all this pressure, all this pressure. You know what? God totally gave us away. To get away from all that pressure. Remember what that eagle would do. He'll flap those wings. And he'll go right up into the heavens. Well, he can't even hear that chattering squirrel no more. He can't hear the barkings. He can't hear the stress about the bills. He can't hear about the stress over this, the stress over that. Soar up into the heavens, caught up in the Word. Caught up in Revelation. That's the one place where the devil, where the believers are at the least whenever they need to be there the most. Am I telling the truth or is that just me? That's the place where we need to be more than anywhere, but the devil will do everything he can to keep you down here. I remember one time I was working in Hickory Springs. I was stressing over all these things. At that time, I'm telling you what, it felt like I was just making a minimum wage. It was struggling, trying to pay the bills. I was stressing. I was worrying. I was fretting. My blood pressure was about to blow my head off. I was going down the trucks. I was loading trucks at that time. I was walking by and I was so stressed. And I said, God, I'm so stressed. I don't know what to do. And the Lord told me something. He said, get caught up in my Word. I want to show you something. The reason God puts you in uncomfortable positions in that nest is because he's wanting you to come to maturity. He wants you to get out of that nest and start flying. God will allow the pressure to come, the pressure from the nest, the pressure from the world. Why? Because God wants us to start flying. God wants us to start using our wings in the message and start flying in the Word and going from faith to faith, precept upon precept, where we ourselves are in such a fellowship with God under the blood. You can't be under the blood and unconfessed sins. You can't be under the blood living in the world. You can't be in the blood listening to worldly music. It won't work. You got to be under the blood because that's where the fellowship's at. But God's calling us to maturity. Amen. Because there's a rapture going to take place, but there's got to be a maturity. Something on the inside of us that's making us more mature. Just a couple more scriptures. We're going to James 5:16. In intoxications, the world has picked up on one part of healing process is they'll make you confess. But the problem with them is they'll want you to keep confessing. My name is Daniel Black. I'm an alcoholic. First, you need to confess it. You need to confess it to God and say, God, I've done it. Forgive me. Because when you confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You need to confess that, but once it's confessed, it's forgotten. It's over. But that's where they got it wrong. They keep going back to that. They keep going back to that. They keep going back to that. And they position themselves as an alcoholic. But whenever we lose our temper, we say something we shouldn't have done, we do something through an intoxication, confess your faults one to another. I'm telling you what, you can get healing from this. You can take them by the hand and say, you know what, I did that and I'm sorry. I want you to pray with me. And you pray together and God will bring healing in that relationship. Amen. One last scripture, and we're almost finished. I promise. Ephesians 5, 8 through 21. For we were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them.
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Think of this, speaking yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. This is just the last quote we'll read. It says, I'm sorry. God has called us at an hour where we can know where we're standing, but we need to submit ourselves one to another. I'm going to tell you something. I just feel led in my heart to bring this to you. There was, about a year ago now, I believe it was Brother Tim, I believe God brings you through things so that you can go through that and get the victory, and that's a victory that you can testify of. Been over a year ago, I was fighting depression it's probably 2 years now. I was fighting depression to the point to where it was such a serious thing. I'm going to tell you what, I felt really strong in my heart to bring this. Depression's a real thing. And they're motivated by spirit. And I was going through a struggle where I fought depression to the point where I didn't even want to live anymore. And it was something so shameful. I didn't want to bring that to anybody because I didn't want anybody to see, because I'm happy-go-lucky Danny. I'm always happy. I'm always smiling. But it got to a point where it was a struggle for me to put one foot in front of the other. And I was struggling, and I finally come to a point where I went to this scripture we just read. It says, you confess your faults one to another, and you'll be healed. And I tell you what, I bounded with my brother Tim. I said, brother, I'm going through this. I said, brother, and I'm telling you what, it's to the point where sometimes it's a struggle. And that brother joined with me, put his arm around me right there. Put his arms around me and said, brother, we're going to claim victory. We're going to pray right now. We're going to curse this devil and bring healing to your body. Bring healing to your soul. And he said, you call me anytime. Anytime that happens, you call me. Right there, we pray. I'm going to tell you what, it was to the seriousness stuff. And I'm talking about serious enough. It was hard to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm telling you what, God brought healing. Healing like I've never experienced in my life. Something inside where it brought a peace and a joy. But even though I've been healed, that devil will try to come back all over again. I'm telling you what, and my encouragement is to you, if you've been prayed over about something, you struggled about something, and you've had a battle over something, don't you ever struggle that battle by yourself. Because there's brothers and there's sisters here that's ready to help. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. You're going through a battle and you're going through struggles, and sometimes it just feels like, you know what, I don't know why I can't seem to get the handle on this thing. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need to just call out. Brother Brown talked about how that eagle sometimes would get his beak would get so crusted over that he couldn't even eat. He couldn't fly. He was just a terrible looking poor little eagle. His little feathers are all starting to fall out because he's so malnutrition. And his beak was so caked over he couldn't even go out and kill his prey. And that eagle would just sit there all by itself, and he couldn't fly, he couldn't do nothing. He was helpless. And there wasn't nothing that little eagle could do. But what would happen is another eagle would come flying across the sky and drop a fresh kill right in front of that poor little eagle. And that eagle would smack his beak across that rock, and he'd start knocking that crust off, and one bite at a time, he'd start pulling the meat off of that and start eating that meat. He'd start feeling that life coming on the inside of him.
We are a body. And there's sometimes we may well look in the mirror and we say, you know what, all my feathers have fallen out. We may look in the mirror and say, my life's a wreck. I don't know how it's happened. I can't soar anymore. I can't fly anymore. I need help. I'm helpless. And then here comes that eagle. He'll send a minister your way and he'll drop a piece of meat right in front of you. And maybe at first you can't really eat it. You just start hitting your beak across that rock. And one bite at a time, you say, God, that's a promise. I believe that. I believe that. I believe this. This is true. I believe that. And one step at a time, one bite at a time, you start feeling life coming back inside you. And before too long, those strong feathers at one time, they stuck out so far you could fly as high as you wanted to. All of a sudden, you'll find out you're being restored. God's restoring you again. God's bringing you back. God says we can soar from faith upon faith, precept upon precept, line upon line. If anybody has a need this morning, I'm telling you that he's here this morning. If you'd like to pray with you, or you can just worship from your seat, let's just worship God for a few minutes here. Part of that walk, we're
all one body. And that self same spirit is with us, Lord. God, I ask you to touch every heart here today. Minister to them, Lord. And Lord God, if there's a struggle that they're going through, Lord, be their comforter this morning. Lord God, if they just need the assurance that they're walking the right track, Lord, God, give them that assurance this morning. Lord, if they just need more joy in their life, more happiness, give it to them this morning, Lord. I ask that that self-same spirit, Lord, would be with us today, Heavenly Father. Lord God, because there's someone that's got to fill the shoes of Elijah, Father. Lord, there's little eaglets that got to rise up, Lord, because we believe the rapture can happen today. But Lord, there's got to be someone that's got to be matured and ready for the flight, Father. Help us, Lord, to position ourselves for victory. God, search our hearts right now. Walk the aisles, Lord. Open every door. Lord, look through every crack, Father. If there be any loose things in our life, God, help us to make it right, Father. God, I ask you to break every chain that would try to bind them, Heavenly Father, and set them free this morning, Lord. May we be refilled with the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Bless us with your presence, Father. In Jesus' holy name.